The following recording was made the 9th of August, 1969, at Franklin, New Hampshire. The speaker is Baba Ram Das, formerly Dr. Richard Alpert.
I just got laid out very severely by Mary Jackson, who works for my father. Can you hear all right? Can you hear me? I think you got to move in closer because I don't think I can speak much louder. Mary works for my father, and she's a very religious woman. And she just laid me out because I took these shirts without her ironing them. And I said to her, but Mary, I'm a renunciate. I'm a sadhu. I've given up all worldly attachments. I can't have you ironing my shirts. I mean, what sadhu in India has somebody ironing his shirts? What did sadhu in India even has a shirt? And I said to her, you know, the apostles wouldn't have had anybody ironing their shirts. Because every day I have to face this thing. I'm staggering into the kitchen in the morning in some state of disrepair. And she looks and she says, oh, you look just like Jesus. And that's a heavy one to start the morning with when you were just about to cheat on your diet and have a cup of coffee or something like that. And I remember when I first heard about Maharishi Mahesh staying at the Hilton, I went through a thought about what a heavy trip that is to him. I mean, how hard it must be for him to stay at the Hilton. But then I thought that would be because if it was me, it would be a hard trip. Because I would get seduced into the big bathtubs and all the channels on television and soft bed. When I first came back from India, I felt that I should protect myself, my virginity, very carefully. And when I first went to stay at a hotel, I took my puja case and I walked into the hotel, and before I would even take off my coat, I set up my puja table and lit my candle incense and sat down, coat and all, and like, here I am, and this is my center. And only then did I have eyes for anything in this fancy suite that had been booked for me. I immediately took the bed pad off the mattress and put it on the floor and made my bed on the floor. I took my loda into the bathroom, my little pot, and I stood in the bathtub and I poured cold water for my bath. I make no compromises whatsoever. I snuck in a bag with my little hot plate, and I cooked my rice. I had about a $60 a day suite. And the only person's disapproval I had to put up with was the maid, her social disapproval of mine. She figured I was just too tight to buy food. Okay. And it worked perfectly. I really felt very centered through the whole experience. Then I decided to risk more another time, and so I just went into the hotel and I turned on the bath and turned on the television, called room service. I decided if I'm going under, I'm going to go under in style. Let's see what under is like. I'll just court all the demons. Got into the bathtub and they sent up a bottle of orange juice, and I sat in the hot tub drinking orange juice. lit incense in the bathtub, had music coming out of the television set, went to bed in the bed, turned the air conditioner on full, got sick. I looked at Maharaji's picture. I said, oh, come on now. One day off, you should at least allow me. My back hurt. So, my body just told me, like, I couldn't really go that trip that easily. The funny thing is, once you simplify your life that much, it becomes very difficult and kind of uncomfortable to go back into a heavy, heavy luxury trip. It feels very unnatural and uncomfortable. But all this, of course, is phony, because the renunciation that we're talking about is totally an inner matter. It is not an external matter at all. And the renunciation is the renunciation of desire or attachment inside a person, not the renunciation of external luxury. And sometimes, for some of us who are living up here on the hill in very aesthetic condition, there's a bit of a hustle. Sort of, look how holy I am, you know. I mean, we're not doing it grossly. You don't go around saying, look how holy I am, because you couldn't get away with that. But you're sort of feeling it. Like, I'm really doing my thing now, aren't I? Staying up here at this place which has golf course and tennis court and lake and water skis, and I was almost going to make everybody do all those things. Let's see how well they become a holy man when they're on water skis. But there is some value for those of us that have grown up with certain habits of living, just to change those habits enough to become conscious of the habits. That's the value of these processes. It's what the value of travel in a foreign country can be, in the sense of giving you that culture shock, which wakes you up to the sleepwalking you've been doing. Before Mary came on to me about the unironed kurta, I had programmed into my computer to say something about energy. Because just as extraordinary is the discrepancy between what we habitually think and what is the potential of our mind, of our being, to know, the difference between knowledge and wisdom, for example, So is the discrepancy almost even more dramatic between the amount of energy we have available daily and that which is potentially available. When you have entered into a state of higher samadhi, you have entered into Sat Chit Ananda, this is called in Sanskrit, absolute knowledge, absolute existence, absolute knowledge, and absolute bliss. And at that point, you are energy. You are energy. If you have a car, an automobile, and it has a very thin fuel line, only so much gas can go through that fuel line at any point. And you can put on so many carburetors, but those carburetors have to use only that fuel, that little bit of fuel that comes in through the fuel line. Even though there may be a lot of gas back in the tank, and there may be some hungry carburetors sucking away, it'll only go as fast as that little tube will allow it to go. Or take the other situation where you put on a great big fat tube to carry gas from the fuel pump up into the carburetor, and you have a little tiny carburetor at the top. Carburetor only can chew up so much gas at any point. And no matter how big the pump is, the gas isn't used. And it floods the car. And gas runs all down the carburetor and into the engine and all over the sides, and it smells terrible, and it's a real mess. I know all these analogies because of living with my vintage vehicle, where one thinks about these matters constantly. Now, we're in a similar predicament that hand in hand with the process of calming the mind and making it centered, which is the major thing we have been talking about and thinking about, is the process of opening up the energy flow. But there's very little sense in opening up the energy flow if the mind isn't centered. And once the mind is centered, if one has not done the opening of the energy, you still have very little of the potential that is available. Now, where we are in the sequence of events is is that we are so deep into the illusion, most of us, that we can't even imagine higher states of energy transformation in ourselves. So that when we read, for example, that Teresa Neumann said, well, she lives on light alone, because her whole food intake for 12 years was one Eucharist wafer a day. And that was hardly nourishment for a good, healthy woman. And she said she lived on light. Now, how could one person live on light and we have to live on vegetables and proteins and so on and all that stuff? Well, that's because at the level of the illusion in which we live, that's who we think we are, one way of saying it. And that at the frequency we're functioning at, that's the way we have to handle input and output at that level. In other words, we're functioning at a very gross or very gross and simplified and very tiny conversion capacity at the moment. So we take in huge quantities of stuff, we convert it into some kind of life force, and then we discharge it in a set of acts. And there is a certain quantity, and we think in terms of the economics of a fixed amount, and when you use up too much, you get tired. Then you say, well, have a candy bar, it'll give you quick energy. You realize that's a complete farce. It's true. It's true at the level that the person said, have a candy bar, it'll give you quick energy, and you ate the candy bar and got quick energy. But it's also a complete illusion. Because you didn't need the candy bar to get all the energy in the world. That's how bizarre it is. But at the level at which you are receiving and thinking and functioning and your body is operating, to you, that candy bar is energy, and you take it in, you have the energy, and you do the thing. And when you do a lot, you get tired, and you say, boy, wow, did I work hard? I'm really tired tonight. And you really think you're tired. You are subjectively tired. If it is also true that I am God, and if I am God, I am therefore all energy, what could I am tired mean? God's tired. On the seventh day, he really needed a rest, I'll tell you, because the 6 days really were, that's a big deal, you know. No wonder. The model of on the seventh day he rested is more like seeing God in man's image than man in God's image. It's anthropomorphizing the concept of God.